You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You've got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
The Bernie and Sid Show.
Guaranteed to be enormously successful.
It's not the normal talk show. It's without the BS.
It's about truth and damn truth. New York's truth. The truth behind the BS. For New York, nothing at all in between. This is Bernard McGurk.
You're now Bernard McGurk.
This is Sid Rosenberg.
Sid Rosenberg, host of the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC.
Live, local, on it.
You never know what's going to happen.
Exclusively.
Bernie and Sid.
77 WABC.
We see shots being fired, and there are people running, possibly victims involved.
I still got shots being fired. We got one in custody. We need medics right by the baseball field in front of the YMCA. There's also a victim down in the baseball field.
We have another one down. I think a total of five down.
The alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act.
But I think there's a big difference there, and that's why people ought to be very much more responsible with Trump derangement syndrome.
Folks, some will want to blame the left or the right or us in the media. But here's who it seems too many folks don't want to blame: themselves. We are all to blame.
You've had an increasing intensity of hostility on the left. The intensity on the left is very real, whether it is somebody holding up a so-called comedian holding up, you know, the president's head in blood, or it's right here in New York City, a play that shows the president being assassinated.
Our brave Capitol Police perform a challenging job with incredible skill, and their sacrifice makes democracy possible.
I think we need to do more to protect all of our citizens. There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence. I mean, I've long talked about this. Background check, shutting down gun show loopholes. We worry about this every day for all of our citizens.
Little Def Leppard to get you going on this beautiful sunny Thursday morning in New York City. Still, though, a relatively somber day across the political and news airwaves as we continue to pray for Steve Scalise, whose condition actually worsened overnight in critical condition. You heard from a bunch of people there, folks from Bernie Sanders, Newt Gingrich, the president himself, Donald Trump, ruined his birthday yesterday. And Terry McAuliffe for the whole gun thing again. Anyway, Thursday morning, sunny, New York City, Mayweather-McGregor going down in a couple of months. All these things make my partner, my best friend, and at times my lover, Bernard McGurk, very happy.
Oh, Sidney Rosenberg, you've told everybody.
Yes, well, now with the secrets out.
Hey, listen, I like to call Thursdays Friday Eve.
Yes.
Makes it sound like there's hope.
That's what it is, though.
That's what it is, indeed, right. What it is.
But you don't care. Like, even Mondays, you'd be like, TGIM, thank God it's Monday.
I say that dripping with sarcasm.
You don't mean it?
Oh, God, well, no.
Really? How do I know now when you tell me you love me, I'm your favorite, although maybe...
I would hope people can distinguish my sincerity from my sarcasm, there's but a lot of times you can't.
There's a lot of fake news out there.
A lot of fake news. You're right.
We've all fallen victim to it,
absolutely
all of us.
Right. You're right about that. Now, this Scalise guy,
yeah,
this poor guy, as you said, his condition worsened. It's like internal organs and stuff like, you know, it's messed up.
He damaged the gunshot went through the hip. If you heard the gentleman who's a congressman who also was a doctor who's in Iraq, he said that he saw the entry wound, but he did not see the exit wound, and that really made him nervous, because when that happens, sometimes the internal damage is severe, and that is the case with Scalise. We kept hearing all day yesterday, even this morning, Connell's like, he's going to be okay, but he's in critical condition.
He's not out of the woods.
No.
Not by a long shot.
No.
And I, no pun intended, I just, my apologies. He's not out of the woods, and it's very upsetting. He was a good man. congressman, Italian-American congressman from Louisiana.
Well, he's not dead yet. He said he was a good man. He's still alive.
That's right. You're right about that. My second apology.
You know, I'll tell you, you mentioned Louisiana. It's funny you do that. I went for dinner last night about 7 o'clock. I'm in the elevator. There's a gentleman in my elevator in Manhattan. He's got two dogs. And one of his dogs is wearing a dog collar. LSU Tigers. Purple, yellow, the colors of LSU, Louisiana State. And I looked down and I go, big Louisiana LSU fan. He goes, I'm from there. I was born in Louisiana. I said, you know what's weird? When I would see an LSU Tiger thing in Louisiana, I think of Peyton Manning or some football thing. I go, today I'm thinking about Congressman Scalise. He said, yeah, no, we love him back home. And the kid was pretty shaken up inside the elevator. But, you know, when I hear Louisiana now, he's the guy I think of.
He's the face. No longer is it Mayor Nagin.
No.
It is now Congressman Scalise.
Mayor Nagin.
Who, by the way, is doing time right now, you know.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
So we played in the open there that Flirty Flipper put together.
Pretty good today. Yeah. She's very drunk.
Well, there's a lot of different things there. Yeah. And one of them, I'll start with the last, which was Terry McAuliffe.
Oh,
you have these people now that they're focusing on the gun control issue. I mean, is that what it is? Or is it an issue of rhetoric, as others in the open had mentioned?
Well, it's two things. It's rhetoric and it's crazy. And we've been over this a million times. It's not the guns killing people. It's people killing people. 9 times out of 10, people who do these types of things are crazy. And this guy, Hodgkinson, was crazy. On top of that, he did have an agenda, which made it easy with the rhetoric from the left. So to me, the gun issue is about third in line in what happened yesterday.
Of course. Absolutely. It's not the time. It's clearly the rhetoric. It's clearly what has been this derangement syndrome, as Krauthammer pointed out, this inability to accept the fact that you lost.
Yeah. Even Jeffrey Toobin, just moments ago with Imus, you know, bringing up the 1,000 different bombings in the 1970s. And I, listen, Toobin's a nice guy, and I'm sure he's upset about what happened. But even he was trying to make every excuse in the book. He's one of those guys. I mean, you see, Joe Scarborough came out yesterday. Said, you know, when Gabby Giffords got shot, there were firings. Some of these cable networks started firing people for their rhetoric and their hate talk. And I'm saying to myself, jackass. You're the guy. You're one of the guys. If anybody should be fired, it's you and Mika. Now he expects cable news to start firing people for what they say. You're a major part of the problem.
Yep. That's exactly right. Him and, of course, all the other people. Everything else that's gone down, starting with Inauguration Day, Madonna. I mean, blowing up the White House. Even before that, the violence at the Trump rallies was perpetrated by these leftist intifada guys, antifada, whatever. They're called anti-fascist. That's what that's short for, ironically, because that's exactly what they are. They want to shut down free speech. So it started with the violence at the Trump rallies.
Actually, it started before. The New York Post does a great job, this little timeline thing. I know you saw this, Bernard, today. Going back to Marilyn Manson, what he or she had said back in November, some dopey actress from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
What she had said to the Saturday Night Live person who got fired, Katie Rich. So there's a nice little timeline in today's New York Post, pages 6 and 7. And there's about 12 examples of folks who were so irresponsible and hateful in their actions and their rhetoric that they should be the least surprised as to what went down yesterday.
Well, Kathy Griffin stole the beheading idea from Marilyn Manson.
Correct.
And before that, you had Snoop Dogg with the music video assassinating Trump.
Yep.
I mentioned Madonna, the Shakespeare in the Park, of course. And then
Sarah Silverman, I guess.
Yeah, all of these people. Yep. And then the whole Trump's a Nazi. If Trump is a Nazi, then this guy is justified. And you're a Trump supporter, which this guy was. He voted with Trump on everything. He was an early Trump supporter. Well, then if you support a Nazi in some way, shape, or form, the guy's justified in shooting you, right?
Of course.
And that's what he thinks in his mind. So you irresponsibly call somebody a Nazi. You're contributing to this type of environment, this act. You're contributing to this act. He's a traitor, a racist who stole the election, et cetera, et cetera. All these things. I mean, if you start throwing out all these irresponsible, not this guy feels, as a lot of people out there do, that they're doing the right thing.
Right.
Well,
right.
Engaging in violence and and inciting violence.
I'm sure he knew he was going to die or thought he would, and he's dying a martyr. No different than the ISIS guy that blows himself up.
So a lot of people say, oh, there was unity yesterday. And,
oh, enough with that stuff.
But that's not going to... That isn't going to happen. And first of all, a Flirty Flipper played this clip of Bernie Sanders. He did the right thing yesterday. Came out, said this act was despicable. But, let's the shooter also was a big Rachel Maddow fan as well. Huge Rachel Maddow fan. And Bernie Sanders. Now, ironically, Bernie Sanders in late March on the Rachel Maddow show, talking about the town hall meetings that these congressmen went to during Easter recess, et cetera, they got really, really ugly. But listen to what Bernie Sanders said, and how do you reconcile that with what he said yesterday about what happened being despicable? Listen to Bernie Sanders on Rachel Maddow late just this past March.
You're seeing members of Congress, Republicans, having to sneak out the back door or claim, I'm worried about my safety. I can't even hold a town meeting. And that is our goal.
Wow.
That's their goal, is to create
fear,
safety concerns for Congress, Republican Congressmen. Well, mission accomplished. But I mean, you don't want to blame Bernie Sanders directly, but when you hear a clip like that, that's pretty damning, I would say.
Well, yeah, you can't blame him directly. The guy did love Bernie Sanders,
but
you got to be careful what you say.
We want to create fear. We want these guys to worry about their safety.
And the whole unity thing, look.
And then I'm sorry, it was despicable.
Nobody experienced that more than we did, right? We were here 9/11, and I remember very, very, very vividly people, the way they acted towards cops and firemen. Right after 9/11, it was completely different. Cops were heroes again. Firemen were heroes again. And this is just, for me, Sid Rosenberg, maybe your experience, Bernard, was different. I was living in Chelsea, Manhattan at the time. It took about 2 weeks. And everybody was right back to there. I hate this. I hate that. He's a pain in the ass. That cop's a pig. Blah, blah, blah. Took about 2 weeks. This won't even get that much. This is a lot less in scale than 9/11.
Seems how you brought that up. You say that took 2 weeks. This didn't even last a day.
Right.
And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Somebody you know and love.
My father?
Tingles.
Chris Matthews?
Tingles.
That's my boy.
Tingles last night.
I don't
now, he's in Washington, D.C.
Don't do this.
The site, suburban of Washington, D.C., is where this 10 miles from Washington, D.C.
Right.
Alexandria, Virginia, across the river. This is where Chris Matthews broadcasts from. He's a political guy.
Right.
Now, this was a tragic historic incident, an attempt at mass assassination.
Right.
Big deal, right?
Which would have happened, again, if not for the fact that, as you mentioned yesterday, Scalise was a high-ranking Republican, third really behind Ryan and Kevin McCarthy. Because of that, he had his security there. If not for that, they would have killed everybody. He would have killed everybody in that field yesterday, 20 dead bodies easily.
And so you had one member of the Republican leadership in the House, maybe he's still not out of the woods yet. Anyway, so that's the big story, right?
Huge. It's all anybody's talking about.
Chris Matthews, seven.
Tonight's the game, by the way, on C-SPAN.
This is how he opened his show last night. Play the first clip.
Good evening. I'm Chris Matthews in Washington. Donald Trump and his ties with Moscow remain the big story here, even on a day struck by violence. Late this evening, another bombshell from the Washington Post.
That's how long it lasted. Long. Now, in that same open, Sid Rosenberg, listen to how stupid and deranged and bitter and hateful this guy is. And he represents a lot of other people in this regard. Listen to what he said.
As part of a widening probe that now includes an examination of whether President Trump attempted to obstruct justice. So he's in the crosshairs.
Crosshairs?
He's in the crosshairs.
That's not the verbiage you want to use.
Now, look.
Not after a shooting, crosshairs?
Now, you remember Sarah Palin? She had some ads shortly before Gabby Giffords was killed, and she was like, this is why Gabby Giffords got shot.
Well, she didn't
Sarah
die,
Palin used crosshairs in some ad.
Right.
Well, he did it after, on the day of a shooting.
And no one's saying anything about that?
And by the way, not even addressing the shooting.
Which is crazy. I know when I came to work this morning, I usually go back and forth because I like to see all sides between MSNBC, the show before Morning Joe, and Fox News. So I came in. It was about 10 after 5. I put on Fox News, and sure enough, they're talking about the shooting. You know, they're talking about the game tonight and if, in fact, there will be unity between the two parties and all that stuff. I put on MSNBC. It's video of Jim Comey.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Come on.
It's legitimate news coverage, but you can't. First of all, you can't lead with it. I've said this before, and it's a horrible maxim, but it's true. In the news business, it's journalism 101. If it bleeds, it leads.
Right, right.
And nobody knows better than that than Chris Matthews. But forget that gory aspect of it. It's a huge deal. The attempted assassination of a bunch of congressmen.
Right. Even CNN right now. I mean, we've got the television on in the studio, and yeah, all they're talking about is the intel chiefs. They're not going to talk to. And is he going to fire Robert Mueller? And all the. And by the way, he's not going to fire Robert Mueller. Besides the fact, which you made very, very clear, he'd have to fire Rosenstein first, which Rosenstein is not going to allow to happen. But I don't think Donald will do it only because it'll just look worse for him.
Listen, he's innocent.
Right.
There's no reason to fire.
If you're innocent, why would you fire somebody?
This is why they're making a mountain out of a grain of sand is what they make. This Mueller has to do due diligence. He has to look at all aspects. He has to look at it.
He's got an agenda because he's Jim Comey's boy.
Well, that's the concern. But even if he wasn't Comey's boy, he would have to look at all aspects of this whole episode, and that includes obstruction of justice. And the fact that this stuff was leaked, however, Mueller met with the Senate Intelligence Committee just yesterday, and hours later it was revealed that he's investigating Trump for obstruction
right,
of
right,
justice,
right.
A criminal investigation. Right. It just perpetuates the cloud is what it is. He should be doing it on the sly. It shouldn't have been leaked,
right.
But to keep the cloud going out there, that's why they leaked it. And he's an innocent man. He's not going to fire Mueller. He has nothing to lose, nothing
totally
to worry
agree.
About.
Totally agree. Now, before we take our first break of the day, one of the congressmen on the field yesterday, Ron DeSantis from Florida, I believe he was also one of the two congressmen that the shooter asked before he opened fire.
He is.
Are these Republicans or Democrats? Ron DeSantis will join us in 35 minutes.
And the phones, folks, wide open. 1-800-848-9222. Bernie and Sid, we're coming right back.
You betcha.
WABC.
Well, the ball game's going to go on tonight. You can check it out. It's on C-SPAN. The whole game. Congressional game between the Republicans and the Democrats. So we're going to play the game. Even though Scalise is in critical condition. And the nation, I think, is still pretty shaken up. They're still going to play the game tonight, which is good. That's a good thing.
Very good thing, of course. Can't stop that. And in the guy's honor. And the Democrats should let the Republicans win.
They really should. Just like they did in the election.
I don't think that was voluntary. Oh. I don't think they held back.
You don't think so?
I know. No, the only one who held back was a lazy-ass Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That's the only one. Everybody else was psyched and pumped. But she was like, I think I'll just stay here. I'm not going to Wisconsin. I'm not going to Michigan.
Turns out this shooter hated Hillary as much as Trump.
Well,
he had as many anti-Hillary Clinton ravings on his Facebook page as he did the GOP.
Well, you're familiar with her trying to rig.
Yeah, to take out Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
of course.
All right, of course, with the help of the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, all of that was exposed by WikiLeaks.
Yes. You know, you see, this guy was
that kind of corruption.
Yes. This guy was a member of, like, all these different groups on Facebook.
May I point out one more thing?
Sure.
CNN
right.
gave Hillary debate questions.
Donna Brazil. Right.
Before a Bernie Sanders. It was Bernie Sanders and Hillary debate.
Right.
So CNN also colluded against Bernie Sanders.
He was pissed. He was pissed at all of them, but he's a member. He was a member of like all these groups. I didn't realize half these groups even exist. There's a million groups on these social media sites, Bernard, and a lot of them are really like hateful, nasty.
Oh yeah.
And encourage things like this. Like a million of them. That's part of the problem with social media. You know, we know ISIS, of course, is on social media recruiting every single day, but there's a bunch of stuff right here in America.
You sound like Dorothy right straight out of Kansas.
Well?
You didn't know this.
No, I did, but...
It's brutal out there.
It's
yes.
really bad, man. It's bad.
Hey, listen, my friend Greg Gutfeld had the best observation.
Yeah.
Which was that the guy was radicalized by the left-wing media.
Bang. Perfect.
And look, you just look at CNN and MSNBC, the venom, the ugliness, that Trump's a Nazi. And on the inauguration day, ABC News, Trump's a Nazi. Terry Moran on inauguration day. So, and a million other things. But I thought that was a great
call.
Radicalized. Just he was a lone wolf, radicalized by the left-wing media, by the hatred and the distortion. Anyway, Noma's here with the news. Speaking of radicals.
Hatred.
And
you know, I was on the other side of some of that social media. Remember I had that little dust-up with Isaiah Thomas
from
the Boston Celtics?
Yes.
The things people were writing to me on Twitter, I was just like, are you kidding me? They were threatening my kids.
No,
you know, stuff
terrible.
Like that. And it was just like
this
was stupid
this
little basketball thing.
Standard.
It wasn't even politics.
Right. Standard on social media. Standard, you're going to get death threats from everybody because everybody's anonymous. So it happens. So anybody... When you hear people complain about, oh, I'm getting threatened online, everybody gets threatened.
They do.
Even Noam Layden over a stupid basketball game.
Well, it wasn't stupid. Noam was out of line again.
Son of a bitch.
I love his son, Gabriel, but Noam was really
threatened
out of
the
line.
Other kid, though.
You can't be tweeting Isaiah Thomas directly.
You can't.
What are you doing?
The
that
answer. Was one thing too far.
Right.
Noam
it was.
No.
Then you're going to bitch about it? I mean, come on.
DJDiet.com studio. Here we go, back in the Bernie and Sid show.
What's the musical theme today?
Louisiana.
See the
police. Right. What was Elvis before? What was that for?
The Hound Dog.
For the dog story.
You were talking about the dog story. You came in here.
You know what's funny about the dog story is I went on this long rant on this show about a week ago. How one of the things that annoys me more than anything is people who talk in an elevator. So I tell you this story about the guy with the dog with the LSU collar yesterday. And it took all of 2 seconds for one of our listeners, don't know him, his name is Michael Knuth, to put on my Facebook page, hey, you talked in an elevator. So that's how closely sometimes our listeners listen. This guy remembered me saying, don't ever talk in an elevator.
Right.
And I tell a story this morning about a guy I talked to in the elevator. I got burned.
Good catch.
Yes.
How come I didn't think of that?
I don't know. It was a good story, so you don't get caught up in talking in an elevator.
There's nothing wrong with having a conversation in the elevator.
It's very bad. No. I was guilty, but very bad.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, again,
is that what I'm hearing?
Well, no. It's don't talk personal stuff. Like, don't talk with your wife and, hey, you got to call that guy today. You got to pay that bill today. Don't do that in an elevator. Or talking about your kids. But, yeah, like, just frivolous.
Don't talk on the cell phone.
Everybody should just stand there like zombies
and
look at the wall.
That's what people do. They just stare at the door waiting for it to open.
Right.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah. Unless you want to...
I'm into that.
You would like it if you, Carol, and somebody else, and Carol's like, make sure you pay that bill today. Make sure you call that guy today. You would want that to happen in front of a complete stranger?
No, she wouldn't do that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Feminist conversation's fine. Like if you walked in, for example, guys in there, you go, how's your penis? Fine.
Why don't you write a book about this? Elevator etiquette.
Will you write the forward?
Yes. Write the forward.
And what would you say in the forward?
I would say, don't read this book. Stupid.
Do not read any further.
Hey, can I ask you a good historical question?
Please.
Because
anything.
I believe, and I mean this, you're incredible with this. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I swear to God.
I see it coming out of his nose.
All I keep hearing the last 2 days, and I was one, okay? And that doesn't mean I know about Babe Ruth, blah, blah, blah. But I couldn't feel it. All I keep hearing the last 2 days is that after what happened yesterday, a lot of folks harken back to 1968.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a little older than me. You could probably feel it, touch it.
It's true that I remember 1968, but I also have read about other time periods.
But if you can feel it and touch it.
1968 It was an ugly ass year. Race riots, Vietnam War protests, Martin Luther King was assassinated, Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated, and it was just a nasty year. So
the DNC thing in Chicago.
The riots, that was the year. Yeah, they had the Chicago riots.
Which we talked about this year may happen in Cleveland because of Trump. So when people are going on and on.
Last year. And by the way, it really didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Because they had guns in Ohio. But on a serious note, when people talk about how bad it is and how ugly it is and blah, 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 I do read that it was much uglier in 1968.
Listen, I was a white kid in the projects, and I remember seeing the cover of Life magazine, some dead kids on the cover in Newark after riots.
Oh, the Newark riots.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it was an ugly, ugly time, and I do remember that myself. But so for a historical comparison, today versus then, I don't know if it's as intense, but there were times as bad, if not worse, than right now. Yeah, and you, of course, you heard the Mr. Imus' guest this morning talk about the duels, et cetera. You had Aaron Burr.
Oh, Bowden, right.
Dueling
right.
With, he was the vice president of the United States.
Right.
With Alexander Hamilton. You had some
of that happened at Francis Tavern, those guys, right?
Well, those guys, they were part of the Sons of the Revolution. And the week prior to their meeting, they met.
Yeah.
They socialized at Francis Tavern.
Yeah.
Aaron Burr wanted to run for governor of New York, and Alexander Hamilton went around telling people not to vote for him. He maligned them, this, that, the other. And that's why he threw down the challenge.
Right.
To a duel, which Burr picked up.
So, 68, Lyndon Johnson says, well, I'm not doing this. Richard Nixon eventually wins it.
That was another bombshell.
Right.
Added to many other bombshells. Lyndon Johnson, you would figure the incumbent, it was essentially his first term. He picked up after Kennedy was assassinated, finished that term. So then he gets elected in 64. It's his first term. And you have the Vietnam War is raging out of control, escalation all over the place. And Lyndon Johnson that year just says, I'm not going to run for president. This is too ugly, too nasty.
That was shocking.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
And you had Hubert Humphrey eventually stepped up. Robert F. Kennedy would have been the nominee. Right.
But he was killed.
Had he not been assassinated.
Right.
It was that kind of year.
Right.
So that's just to keep in mind that. This is not unprecedented.
Right.
These times. These.
Not only is it not unprecedented, but it seems, and some of the stuff I read this morning, at least, Bernie, was that people were hesitant to really make it analogous to 1968 until yesterday. The shootings on that baseball field really brought people back.
It did. Now, 68 also, that was the year Nixon was, he beat Hubert Humphrey. He won. And it got as ugly, I would say, or as intense, though without the violence, in the early 70s after Nixon was elected for a second term, Watergate thing.
It kind of went.
The media hated Nixon the way, and the left hated Nixon the way the left and the media hate Trump today.
Right. It kind of went right through with the assassination attempt of Ford, afterwards with Frome, even up to Reagan's assassination.
Yeah, the 70s was just a horrendous,
rough,
disastrous,
right.
A forgettable decade. And
good music, though. Good movies. Bobby D. By Bell Boulevard in Bayside remembers 1968 very well. Good morning, Bobby. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Yes. I was a rookie cop, and we were down the first, while I was in the academy, we were sent down to the, I think it was the Democratic Convention. Oh, no, the Republican Convention at Madison Square Garden. And the guy in the wheelchair that was the governor, it slipped
George,
my
George
mind.
Wallace. George Wallace.
George Wallace was running for president. And let me tell you, that place was crazy. Nothing like Cleveland. There were so many people on the street. I'm going, I'm a kid from Queens in Manhattan. What the hell am I doing here with my nightstick? Like I'm going to do something with 5 days on the job. And then right after that, you have this big thing down in Wall Street, protest, and I think it was the Steelworkers Union or the Electrical Union. They took on all these hippies and stuff, and it was just
They beat the hell out of them.
They tuned them up.
That's
it was
right.
Unbelievable. And you haven't heard boo from them after that was done.
So, Bobby, your contention, or you agree with the notion that 68 was actually worse than today?
So bad. It doesn't even compare.
Well, how about that? But then wasn't, thank you, Bobby, wasn't 69, well, at least in New York, 69 was a renaissance. Well, 69, we walked on the moon, talking about national stuff.
Yeah, but and you had the Manson murders in 69.
Was that 69?
That was 69.
But on a good note, you had the Woodstock.
You had Woodstock.
And you had the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks, all won championships in 1 year in New York. Joe Namath, Super Bowl III, 1969. And Danielle was born. So
we're coming right back, folks.
It's going to happen.
Exclusively.
What is this?
77 WABC.
The alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC. Bernie Sanders, he was upset yesterday, but of course, and we talked about this earlier, we'll get back to it again. He has said some things along the way that maybe...
some inflammatory things.
That maybe contribute to stuff we saw yesterday.
Maybe, but he did the right thing yesterday.
Yes, he did. Yesterday, of course, was a rough day. They are going to play this baseball game tonight, which makes all of us happy. In fact, I think you can watch the whole game on C-SPAN later on tonight. Now, of course, Scalise was the one politician, four people shot, the one politician that was shot. He is in critical condition, but we're hoping he improves. There was a lot of guys on that field, and one of those guys has proudly been serving the 6th District down in Florida since 2013, and that is Congressman Ron DeSantis. And the news we got was that he was one of two gentlemen that the shooter walked up and asked right before, if in fact it was Republicans or Democrats on the field. Let's find out. Congressman Ron DeSantis. Congressman, welcome to the Bernie and Sid Show. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you, and thank God you're okay. Believe me, we start with that. Thank God for that. But the news reports were that this shooter came up to you, one of two people, and asked you that question. Is that true?
Yeah, so the scene was we had gotten out there about 6:15. We took infield, outfield. We're in the process of taking batting practice. I took batting practice as one of the first hitters. Jeff Duncan from South Carolina, who ended up being in the car with me, also took it. I started shagging balls at third base, Duncan at short, and I'm actually turning double plays with Steve Scalise, who got shot. He was playing second base 10 minutes probably before he got shot.
Was he playing shortstop?
I was playing third base, so I'm getting ground balls. We're turning it. I'm sending to him. He's turning the double play. And it got to the point. I mean, I had probably taken 50 ground balls. Jeff had taken. So I said, Jeff, you want to just get on the road early? I mean, you guys have to deal with it in New York. I mean, the traffic can be brutal in D.C. So if we got on the road maybe 20 minutes earlier, we could get to the Capitol much easier. So we decided to do that. So we went, and I was probably fielding ground balls at third base 40 feet from where he started shooting. So had we stayed out there, we would have been in a world of hurt. So we ended up going to Jeff Staffer's car. I was in the back seat. Jeff was in the passenger front seat, congressman from South Carolina. His staffer was in the driver's seat, and this individual approached us. Obviously, we didn't know who he was at the time. But he said, are those Republicans or Democrats? And Jeff said, they're Republicans. And then
he wasn't carrying anything. He was just in plain clothes, no bag, nothing with him at the time?
I did not see it, but I was in the back seat. So I really only saw from his chest up. And it wasn't anything that you would think he would be having a weapon, because where we were in the parking lot was right behind the first base stands. The Capitol Police, their tinted SUV, was staged just a little further down the first base foul line. And so they were, the Capitol Police is probably about 150 feet from our car and when that individual approached us. So we weren't even thinking the idea that somehow there would be any type of shooting or anything. It was a little bit of a weird encounter just because no one's out there. It's a municipal field, 7 in the morning type of deal. As soon as we got back to the Capitol Hill, we heard the news, and I think he started firing probably between 5 and 10 minutes after we had the confrontation. So immediately Jeff and I thought back to that confrontation. We gave the description to the police, and then as soon as they identified him and we got his photo, I was like, that's him. Jeff's like, that's him. And then Jeff's staffer was like, oh, 100% it's him. So that was the last conversation he had before he attempted a mass murder. And had Steve Scalise, who's in the leadership and is assigned a security detail, had Steve not been there and his detail not been there, I think he would have mowed down 10 to 15 congressmen because there would have been no defense. The only reason that guy was neutralized is because you had two Capitol Police that ran into the fire in order to save lives.
Thank God for that. And speaking on that note, the fact that you guys, you could have conceivably congregated at that field with no security. I mean, I would imagine that would change now in the future. I mean, only the House leadership could have security. That has to change, right, Congressman?
Well, I mean, I think it's the issue of we've never really felt the need to do it if we're off campus in D.C. because that's not our district. People don't necessarily know us. But now this guy knew there were members of Congress playing. He wasn't sure of the party, and that's why he asked us that. And obviously, I think that was important to him, given his political leading. So they've been practicing there for years and years. But you'd think that had Steve Scalise slept in, you would have zero security, and a lot of those people are sitting ducks. So I think what people do is look at when there's a lot of congressmen kind of congregated in one area, do you want that to be a target that invites some of these people that are just filled with rage and hate to give them an opportunity to do something really terrible? And having some folks there, you know, may help. But I tell you, I mean, this guy had to have seen the Capitol Police there because it's a big, shiny, dark tinted window SUV. You had at least one of them just staged right outside the SUV at all times. Now he went around the other side of the diamond on the third base side, so they're on the first base side, and that's why I think he was able to get off so many shots, because I think people are just trying to figure out what happened for probably 15 seconds, and then where is the gunman, where's this coming from, and then once they did that, obviously they had to engage in a firefight in order to neutralize him.
Wow. And the fact that you had that near, I would imagine you could call it a near-death experience. It's amazing. Anyway, Congressman DeSantis from Florida, who was at the scene of the shooting minutes before it occurred. What did you make, Congressman DeSantis, right afterward? You had, the debate, the right focusing on the left's hateful rhetoric and then the left focusing on gun control immediately after the shooting.
Yeah, look, I think we got to get on. I mean, we kind of go through these things and they kind of like try to make the political points. I mean, bottom line is this individual, I don't know how you can, you know, if you can extrapolate it beyond him, but this particular individual clearly was out looking to kill as many Republicans as possible. Whether he was inspired by other people, I think we're going to have to figure that out. But I mean, everything we've heard about him is very troubling. And he was clearly somebody whose politics were really fueling him to be a hateful individual. And then he takes it to the ultimate level by attempting a mass murder. I mean, that's just what we know now. And that, even if we learn nothing new, I mean, to me, that's troubling enough.
No, it is, Congressman Ron DeSantis. They're going to play. You guys are going to play the game. You're going to play tonight? I imagine you're playing third base?
We are going to play tonight. I'll be out there. I'm looking forward to it.
And you know, joke, by the way. First baseline, third baseline. You know your baseball, Congressman.
Well, they like me. You know, the thing is, you know, I was the baseball captain at Yale. I played 4 years. I was Little League World Series in Little League. We had a great high school program in Florida. And so as soon as I came to Congress 2013, these guys were like, we need you to play. And I hadn't played the last couple years, and of all the guys, Steve Scalise was the most excited that I was back out this year because he was really looking forward to the game. And just any time he'd see me on the House floor, he'd be like, hey, man, you're ripping the ball in BP. Keep it up. Looking forward. We got to win this year.
Well, I know he's very enthusiastic, and people are saying he's probably very upset. He's in critical condition that he can't be out there tonight. But just building on what Bernie just asked you about, obviously, you know, the left talking about the gun control, the right. There's a lot of people that think the angry rhetoric coming from the left. Even Bernie Sanders has said some things that, quite frankly,
as a matter of fact,
very nice.
Let's play the clip. Bernie Sanders on Rachel Maddow's show, Congressman DeSantis, in late March during when you guys were on recess. He was talking about that. Listen to Bernie Sanders.
You're seeing members of Congress, Republicans, having to sneak out the back door or claim, I'm worried about my safety. I can't even hold a town meeting. And that is our goal.
See, that's their goal, to instill fear into you guys where you can't even hold a town meeting. So at the time, you kind of brush it off. But now you listen back to some of the things going on from there. Do you attribute some of the things that they talk about on the left and Hollywood and public universities, by the way, Congressman, to the reason why things like yesterday happened?
Well, I can tell you that after the shooting happened, we received a call from our office by an individual who was happy with what happened and was hoping that the president, President Trump, would be next.
Wow.
I've had another colleague who got an email from one of her constituents saying one down, 217 more to go.
Wow.
And so there's clearly something out there where it is, you know, the hate has really gone in a violent direction where if you disagree with someone politically, particularly from the left looks at that, some elements as being very, you know, almost that you're subhuman and somebody that should be. So I think it's troubling. Bernie, I had not heard him say that. That does not play very well given what's happened. I mean, the idea that you want a town hall meeting to degenerate into safety concerns, and that's what we want. No, that's not what we want. And part of it is, yeah, obviously members care about their safety, but you know, you have 500 people there. You have, maybe you have 200 lefties yelling and screaming. You got 300 other innocent people. I don't want an incident there where they, their safety's in jeopardy. So it's really irresponsible to try to be fueling that.
Stuff. Listen, and Bernie Sanders talking out of both sides of his mouth yesterday on the Senate floor. He said it was despicable. Yet we just played the tape. The mission accomplished. Put the fear of their security in the congressmen's hearts right there, Bernie Sanders. And now, listen, I would like to move on to Congressman DeSantis, if you don't mind, regarding this. And it's connected, actually, this sort of what Trump calls a witch hunt against him. You have the leak now that came out that Mueller, the special counsel, is investigating Trump for obstruction of justice for a crime that he didn't commit. I mean, what do you think about all that?
Well, I don't think they have an obstruction case. In some ways, though, it's somewhat good news because I think it's a recognition that this whole Russia thing, there's no there. I think Comey's testimony when he's telling Trump he's not under investigation indicated that as well. So hopefully we can just bring that to a conclusion. There's never been any evidence about that. And the obstruction case, there's no obstruction case. I mean, just think about it. Comey is saying in February this conversation about Flynn, if it happened, amounts to obstruction. And yet as late as March 30th, he's telling the president that the president's not under investigation. So a month and a half after that conversation happened, even Jim Comey, who's Trump's biggest critic now, didn't think there was any reason to have any type of obstruction case. So what has changed? The only thing that's changed is Jim Comey got fired.
Right.
And so he wanted to create a special counsel because he's sore about getting fired. And I think Comey should have been fired from the beginning. But now I understand when Trump, 2 days after he fired him, mentioned Russia, a lot of the press is saying, oh, he's trying to stymie the Russia investigation. That's not true at all. Trump was frustrated, I think rightfully so, that Comey is telling him you're not under investigation, while publicly he was really fueling speculation that the president may in fact be under investigation.
Right.
So when Trump's saying lift the cloud, he's not talking about obstructing the investigation. He wants to reveal the truth behind the investigation.
Sure, and that's the only thing, by the way, that doesn't get leaked, as your colleague Marco Rubio down there in Florida talked about. I actually think Marco did a very good job that day. But I ask you this, then, Congressman. We've seen presidents that weren't liked. We've seen presidents with low approval rates. Nixon, of course, was one of those guys. But the hatred for Donald Trump is like nothing we've ever seen. Nothing. And I can't believe it's as simple as, you know, my team lost. You know, Obama was there for 8 years and Hillary lost. Because before that, it was getting pretty ugly. Why do you think there's this unparalleled, silly hatred for this particular president?
I think that part of it is that the elite class, the political class, the media class, the bureaucratic class, no one thought he was going to win. And I think once he won, I think it was a shock to their world. And I think they basically resolved that the election wasn't legitimate. They were not ever going to accept him as a legitimate president. And their opposition to him wouldn't be based on just policy differences, but basically would be try to delegitimize his entire presidency.
So you're basically describing these people, these professional people who we place trust in their hands. You're basically saying, Ron, they're still losers.
Well, I think there's no question about it. I mean, I think no president's been treated worse by the media. Reagan, it's had it tough, some of these other guys, but the level of vitriol and the level of innuendo that's put out about him on the Russia stuff and everything without any having really any facts far surpasses what was done with other presidents. I think you see elements of the bureaucracy that have really acted out against this administration, which obviously they're not supposed to be doing. And then I think the Democratic Party has basically said, we don't accept him. Our mantra is going to be resist, resist, resist. So I think all those things combined kind of after a very shocking election result, I think a lot of people didn't want to believe it. And so they basically just been focusing on delegitimizing him. Now, I think that they've succeeded to a certain extent in keeping a lot of this other stuff in the news. But I think with Comey's testimony, some of this other stuff, I think we may be able to turn the corner soon. And I don't think Mueller's going to be able to build a case. And so once that happens, I think resist, resist, resist. I think the public's going to get tired of that. And if the Congress and the president are producing good things, I think he can improve his standing dramatically.
I think he can turn it around. Congressman DeSantis from Florida, he was at the scene of the shooting minutes before it occurred. We want to thank you for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC, and glad you're okay. Happy and everybody okay. else. And good luck tonight.
Yeah, enjoy the game tonight. I'm sure this is obligatory and lame, I know, but this promises to be a very emotional ball game tonight. Yes.
No, thanks, guys, and we're going to raise at least $650,000 for charity, which is a big deal.
Great, excellent job. Fantastic. Thank you, Congressman. You be well.
Thank you, guys.
All
Take
right,
care.
Brooks Robinson. He's got nothing on you. Nothing. The great Ron DeSantis. That guy was great.
He was fantastic.
Good ball player.
Great speaker. He was. You were telling me earlier from your time in Florida, he was going to run for Rubio's seat.
That's correct.
And what happened?
Well, Rubio lost the presidency. He lost the nomination.
So he went back to Florida.
He went back to Florida and said, I'm going to stick around. And at that point, Ron jumped ship. He said, okay, I can't beat this guy.
Oh, did he really?
So he went back, and he's still in charge of the 6th District. He's been there since 2013. So, yes, he wanted the Senate seat. Now he's back where he was before.
He's good. He's very good now.
Yeah.
He was on with Mika and Joe this morning. So now two of the people who he talks about condemning the violent rhetoric and all of that stuff and the media, the hate. Those two people are part part and parcel of this hate. Greg Gutfeld said it last night. The guy was radicalized by the left-wing media. Mika and Joe Scarborough are part of that media, part of that hateful
Trump won't even
mention his name at times and call him names. I forget some of the schmuck Joe Scarborough called them. They're part of that. He was on the show this morning. I wish he had called them out on it. Maybe he didn't know about it. But
you know, I'm always surprised, Bernie, when I see those guys go on those shows. I don't know why they do, because of the way they talk about their party and the leader of their party. But I guess when TV calls,
when you do it. You talk about Trump, pooping in his pants, pooping on the desk, or she, Mika Brzezinski, calling him
she's disgusting.
A little boy. She's
disgusting.
And then him last week calling Trump a schmuck, and the things they did, and the snark that they employed.
That's what I said. He was going on about after Gabby Giffords got shot, that all these cable networks, Bernard, started firing people. They were sick of the nasty rhetoric, and as he was saying it, as if he wasn't that guy.
Right. Right, exactly.
You're
right.
That guy.
Right,
ass face.
Yeah, the morning after, Mister, he's partially culpable, and now he wants to distance himself. Yeah, but we see through it, Joe Scarborough and Mika.
You can't fool us,
losers. 1-800-848-9222. Bernie and Sid.
Online, BongiornoLawFirm.com.
Bernie and Sid on demand.
You never know what's going to happen.
The WABC radio app. Download it now. Upload the BS. 77 WABC.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show.
I used to love this group.
Oh, it's great. Well, this is a one-hit wonder, really.
I think they had two or three, but that was about it, yeah. What are the name of these guys again? They were black rock and roll band.
Living Color.
Yes.
Very good.
Good show.
And a good show on top of that. Hey, I know that Judy's online. 6, we have to get to the news. We will get to her, but I did receive this morning a care package from one of our favorite listeners, one of our most loyal listeners, a diehard Bernie and Sid fan from day one. She's a sweet lady. Judy from Brooklyn. I received two books
the Horowitz's book on Dave, on Donald Trump, another book, Draining the Swamp, and she's such a sweetheart that she also sent a third gift. You know, she has costume jewelry, and she sent something to Danielle because Danielle, of course, Nana died a couple of months ago, and she sent something to Danielle, condolence wish, a nice piece of costume jewelry. So we'll get to you after the news, but I did receive a wonderful care package from Judy, who loves Bernie and Sid, and we love her.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very, very nice. Also, we're talking Congressman DeSantis' reaction to what he heard from Bernie Sanders in late March on the Rachel Maddow
show.
That
was great.
Was very telling.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders wanted to instill fear in the hearts of congressmen. He wanted them to fear for their safety.
Yeah, he didn't know that.
That was his goal.
That's the goal. That's what he said. That's the goal.
And he said it. He sounded taken aback by it.
He did, no, he definitely had no idea. Yeah. No, if you don't know, see, I'm not surprised because I know how these people work. But he sounded like, wow, really?
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders, not the innocent, nice guy.
Come on.
Yes, it was a despicable. Yes, it was despicable. We know that.
But his
what caused it?
But his people are the ones that. I mean, I'm in the gym yesterday, and you know, we're talking about this. Some girl, you know, a different color hair and a earring through her nose and whatever. And she's training with her trainer, and she's like, "Oh my God, that's awful." I go, "Yeah, it really is awful." I tell you, I never really a Trump fan, but I'm becoming a bigger fan of Donald Trump every single day because of what's going on out there.
The backlash.
Yeah, and she's like, "Well, that's ridiculous." I said, "But you just said this is terrible." She goes, "Yeah, but he's still a horrible guy, and you know I have a friend whose parents are about to get deported." I go, "Well, no, I don't know who you are or your friend for that matter. I have no idea, but I guarantee they're not going to get deported." Well, how did? So it went on for like 5 minutes. I wanted to get some back work in. I'm like, "Okay, I'm done here." But even this girl who started off by going, "What a horrible thing," she got so angry that I, in fact, said that I'm starting to inch towards the right because I hate the left. All of a sudden, her sympathy for the victims on the baseball field turned right back into Donald Trump's a prick.
The Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
Classic case right there.
Yeah.
And a classic case of not doing the right thing at the gym, which is staying away from politics.
Well, it was good for me because after that, I went up like 40 pounds.
Oh,
I had steam. Oh, Bernie, I had steam coming out my ears.
In that case, it was a happy ending. But do you want to be walking around angry?
No.
Do you?
Well, me, I'm the last person.
Can't you get
like
motivated in a different way?
Well, usually I do, but this worked for me yesterday. It really did.
1-800-848-9222, Bernie. So we're coming right back after Norm with the news.
From the NJDiet.com studios.
10:42 on your Thursday morning. Gorgeous day here in New York City. Back on the Bernie and Sid Show. Don't forget Ebony and Curtis. Curtis and Ebony, they come your way at noon. Let's hit the phones again. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We go to Boston. Line 4, Bill in Boston. Welcome to the Bernie and Sid Show.
Hey, good morning, Bernie and Sid. All we can all say is thank God we averted potential tragedy in so many ways. It occurred to me this morning, I don't know if anybody else has pointed it out yet, but could you imagine we'd have to have like 15 or 20 elections, special elections around the country to replace these Republicans, and how the Democrats would have been out trying to say, hey, this is our way of getting the balance of power back in our favor, and we would get out there. You know, I mean,
hey, listen, it was a mass assassination attempt.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yep. Yeah, it's awful. And, I appreciate the way you guys are giving insight, and please don't ever leave the radio because I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope that's not a commentary on the sadness of my life.
No, it's not. No.
I love you.
We love you too. Yes.
Yeah,
you're great.
God bless. God bless America.
You're one of millions, Bill, same way. Millions. They love us.
Going to be here for quite some time.
Yes.
At least through the rest of this month.
I would say that. That's a fair estimate. Yeah. No, I think we make it through the summer.
Jay from New York City. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, I hope you're there for a nice long time. You're one of the few things ABC's done right.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, thank you.
I heard you guys comparing now to 68.
You know, before you go any further, I was asking Bernie, because he's great with this stuff, and you probably are very too, Jay, if in fact we could compare this with 1968. That was the question.
Yeah, no, it's really different. I mean, back then there were two factions. There was the civil rights and the racial violence, and there was also the Chicago Seven,
right?
Which was the activists, and those are the guys.
And the Vietnam War stuff.
Well, they were using that, but they planted the seeds for Occupy, Move On, BLM, all that from later on. Now, it's like, to me, it's like systemic. You have our institutions like the media and Congress who are fanning the flame.
That's a great point, Jay. You're right.
And now we hate each other on a personal level.
Right.
I mean, geez, it's like, little brother media and Congress poking on Big Brother, trying to get a reaction. And so
you think it's worse? I mean, you think it's worse today than it was back in 68?
I do. I think that there were causes in 68. I think now it's just blind, pure armed camps.
Yes,
that's fair.
That's true.
That's fair.
You have to, when you characterize the left, when you say the left, the radical left, in that is included the media.
Yes.
The media is part of the left.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no more. They're not the objective fourth, whatever, the observers, the keepers of the truth or anything like that.
No.
They're completely on the left and with an agenda, and they'll distort and lie on the front page as opposed to the editorial page.
Well,
they're activists.
Well,
it's an activist media. They're now not just biased, they're corrupt.
Well,
and, you know, he said there were causes back then. You may have agreed or disagreed, but there were causes. Difference, and maybe Jay's actually hit this on the head. The difference is there were causes in 1968 as opposed to fictional causes in 2017.
Exactly right. This collusion hoax, the notion that Trump stole the election.
Oh,
he's an illegitimate president.
I know.
What it's based on. That's the premise of this whole thing. Back then, yes. It was civil rights, and again,
and the war, like you said,
it was the Vietnam War.
Sure.
But as he states, as he points out, it was pretty much radical elements on the street, the fringe elements out there on the streets doing this stuff, the rioting and whatever it was. It wasn't
Jake Tapper.
It wasn't Jake Tapper and
Anderson Cooper,
Schmuck Todd and Chris Matthews,
Joe Scarborough, and that wretched wench Mika.
Oh, and those mutts in the morning over there at MSNBC, those two, ugh.
No good. See, I don't crush Allison. I know you don't like Chris Cuomo, though, right? You can't be a Cuomo guy.
I don't watch him. Look, he's one of them. He's another. he works for CNN, and he distorts, and he's taken a side. There's
of course.
Doubt about it.
Oh, there's
he's
no
taken
doubt.
It's advocacy journalism. He doesn't, unlike, say, a guy like Sean Hannity, he doesn't say he's on that side. He's taking that side.
Right. Sean makes it very clear. Like, he doesn't lie. He may be as enthusiastic about his side as the other guys, but he lets you know that. Is that the difference?
Yes. He's an analyst. He's an opinion guy.
Because
Chris
Fox
Cuomo
News
tries to present himself as a journalist.
Down the middle, and he's not. Fox News has changed their motto. They used to be fair and balanced. Now what are they?
They are most trusted, most watched.
I like it.
And they fair and balanced, for example, the Fox and Friends show in the morning. They're clearly, I mean, you have spending nights at in the White House.
Right.
And that's fine. They don't hide that. They don't hide that.
No.
They're up front with their advocacy.
But I will say this. They do give the other side the opportunity to speak. And Ducey and Kilmeade and Ainsley, they don't jump down their throats. They may kind of giggle once they're off the air and disagree. But they do give the other side a chance to speak. They do. On Fox and Friends.
Right, but Chris Cuomo...
Right. Tucker brings somebody on, and he just eviscerates him at 8 o'clock at night. Fox and Friends does give the other side a chance to talk.
Well, he gives... Tucker Carlson gives the other... He does these long-form segments. He gives them plenty of chances
to talk.
Well,
it gets contentious.
Well,
him.
No, because they don't answer the question. That's why. And he gives them every opportunity to answer the question that they can't answer.
Right.
And that's the brilliance of what he does.
Yeah.
So, yes, the media, it is institutionalized, it's systemic, and the nut jobs in Congress, our leaders, the gatekeepers, Maxine Waters screaming about impeachment based on nothing.
Yeah.
Based on squat, her and, of course, all of them.
But is there anything more annoying than any time these things happen, the gun control thing comes up? I mean, it's not even a couple of hours old. It was the same thing with Sandy. It was Sandy Hook or the thing in the classroom. Every single time.
That's their go-to issue.
Right.
It's the gun thing. It's not Islamic terror. It's guns. It's not because of the hate rhetoric on the left. It's guns. So it's a cop out. It's actually a lie. I mean, that's an argument we can have.
Yeah, of course.
But the guns are the guy had the gun legally.
Right. Just like the mother did at Sandy Hook when her son Lanzo took the guns and went.
Let's
berserk.
Have that argument another time.
And listen, if you want the stricter gun laws, all that's going to do, by the way, is make it more difficult for the folks who should and can have guns. Make it more difficult for them. ISIS ain't going to follow the gun laws, you morons. Somebody who wants to go into a movie theater and kill somebody, they're going to find themselves a gun on the street. They just are. It's not the gun laws. It's the access to guns. And the problem is, it's too late. There's about a half a billion
guns are out there. That's not the issue right now.
Of course not.
Call from Manhattan. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Carl.
Hi.
Hi there.
Am I on?
You are.
Yes,
sir.
Oh, okay. Hey, I think Trump is the one who introduced violence into politics. I remember at three or four of his rallies, he encouraged his supporters to beat up three or four black guys. He even offered to pay the bills, the legal bills and medical bills, if they beat up somebody. Also, another situation of Republicans and violence is the congressman out west who attacked a reporter. He could have broke that guy's neck the way he body slammed him. So there's bad behavior on both sides, but I've never seen an American politician like Trump that literally encouraged people to attack invaders or interlopers or whatever that came to his rallies.
Let's have a conversation, Carl. Those rallies were private affairs. Those people were disrupting the rallies.
Yeah, but it's illegal to call the police. It's illegal to put your hands on somebody to punch a. They beat this poor black guy up.
The black guy you didn't see what the black guy was doing before the cameras started to focus on it.
He didn't viciously or violently attack.
He wouldn't get out. He wouldn't leave. He jumped on the floor, flopped around like a fish, and they had to drag him out. So yeah, it got a little ugly. And as far as paying the legal bills for the guy who elbowed the black guy on the way out, that guy was giving the finger to women and children on his way out, and that's when he got the elbow to the face, which he deserved.
Well, the Supreme Court said it's legal to give somebody the finger. So
not in a private, not in a private venue. It's not legal. Not on your way. No, it's not.
If I refuse to leave a shopping center, does the shopping center manager have the right to beat me down because I refuse to leave?
Security does. So if you don't get out, they have the right to violently take you, to forcefully take you out. They don't have the right to pummel you.
Well, my point is this, that Trump introduced, I'm against violence. I don't believe in violence, but I'm saying that Trump introduced violence and rhetoric of violence, and it's unfortunate. And the congressman out west, that's a great example of violence.
You made that point, and that guy apologized profusely. Hey, listen, the Trump rallies was shut down. I don't know if you recall in Chicago at the one university was shut down because of the Bernie Sanders fascist anarchist out there, violent anarchist attacking Trump rally goers. Those people were engaging in violence. They set out to assault people. And then you had him out in San Diego. There was one gay guy at a Trump rally. He was knocked unconscious.
He got pummeled.
He got killed. So a lot of these people were out in the streets with the intention of beating the hell out of Trump supporters who were entering and coming out of the Trump rallies. That's where the violence started.
Well, the left now will start to say, listen, don't just blame it on us. I know this guy was a bad guy. What he did yesterday was wrong, but you've got your fair share, and it starts at the top. That call just now from Carl. I've heard a bunch of that the last 2 days. Don't just blame it on us. Yeah, that guy was bad. He hates the Republicans. What he did was horrible. But you guys are accountable, too.
Yeah, when you have people at a private rally that people are got tickets to get into, and they're giving the finger and they're cursing, the hell with them.
Talk about it.
And to be honest with you, negotiations went smooth. The impossible deal is now done. The fans wanted it too.
You know, it's everywhere I go and everything. It's the only question people ask me now is if this fight's going to happen. At the end of the day, my job is to make fights that the fans want to see.
That sounds so ridiculous, but I'm going to watch it. Conor don't stand a chance boxing with Floyd. With an MMA fight, you got to use all of your skills. You have to do your legs, your knees, your elbows. And in boxing, you just use your hands. And I think Floyd's going to just be more superior with the hands.
The great Iron Mike Tyson, along with the great Dana White, as we start the third and final hour of this three-hour tour, the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC. Curtis and Ebony come your way at noon, and we'll get right back to the phones. And, of course, the tragedy, the shooting yesterday, the game taking place tonight in at Nationals Park in D.C. But for sports fans out there, big piece of news. It is done. You are going to get Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor at the T-Mobile Center in Las Vegas coming up August the 26th. The one fight everybody wanted to see is coming our way.
It's very exciting, Sydney.
Yes.
I've been on the Conor McGregor train for a long time.
Yes, you have.
It's been a nice ride.
Yeah, well, you're getting off soon, so. Oh, who knows? See, I'm always afraid to say something because you're going to say, well, you said the same thing about Hillary Clinton.
I don't.
But one of these days.
I don't say that. I never do. It's implied.
Right. But one of these days, like with this Conor thing, he's going to get his ass kicked because it's not in a MMA setting. It's not a UFC setting. It's a boxing match. And then
it's
maybe
possible.
At that point we can get
possible,
to where.
It's possible. But of course, the argument is he's bigger, he's younger, he's more hungry. Mayweather is a woman beater. That's A. So you should root for Conor McGregor.
I can't.
Everybody
root for
should
Conor,
root
I can't
for,
root for Conor McGregor.
You can't root for a guy
really
who punches women.
No, I don't root for him. I just root for the sport.
Right, I'm just trying to help you out.
I know. I hear you. Actually, Jeremy Schaap. You like Jeremy? I know you love his father, Dick Schaap.
I like Dick.
But Dick Schaap.
I don't know Jeremy that well.
But
I mean Dick Schaap.
Right.
I remember Dick Schaap.
Jeremy Schaap said today that this is the biggest mismatch in the history of sport.
Well, he's going to be proven wrong. I mean, they said that, yeah. Here I am.
You see, here you go, you son
you
of a bitch.
Help.
You look, were going to do it, weren't
it's,
you?
It's going to be
you were
an interesting
it,
match. It's going to be, look, Conor McGregor is going into his realm, his sport.
He's going into Floyd.
So it is, it is a handicap, but still.
Right. No, still.
He's got lightning quick hands.
Oh, get out of here. He's not quicker than Mayweather. Mayweather's lightning quick.
This is what I foresee happening, though.
All right.
Sadly, I don't want this to happen, but if Floyd opens up and tries to fight, he's going to lose.
He won't do that.
He's going to get knocked out.
He won't do that.
But what he's going to do is cover up.
He's a defensive fighter.
The little bitch that he is.
Oh! He's
going to cover up.
Come on.
He's going to hide behind with his arms. Marcus of Queensbury, so Conor can't do the things that he does in the octagon.
Well, he can't kick, and he can't stab anybody. Whatever else they do in that sport that you like to watch, you know I've been doing the same thing you are, just seeing. I'm guilty too. And people ask me, is Bo Dietl going to win? Bo is holding something this afternoon where he's actually encouraging people to urinate on Gracie Mansion. You can't make it up. I love Bo.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not even, you can't even make it up.
Wow.
And it's in the Daily, it's everywhere. But people ask me, can your boy Bo win? And what do? I go to Trump. So I'm guilty of the same thing. No matter what happens now, the biggest of underdogs in any arena, whether it's sport or politics, I always say, well, you never know now because Trump won. Right? That's it.
You have to consider that possibility. Now, this thing about Bo Dietl. I mean, I can't let you bring it up.
Yeah, what is this? Could you give me the...
I mean, you brought it up, but right. The only place that it is, the only place I can find it, is at the New York Daily News.
Right.
And, of course, they hate...
No, it's on Bo's Twitter account.
Oh, is it?
Yes, Bo tweeted it personally.
Maybe those who feel it's okay to urinate in public will do it out... Oh, okay, so he's making a point.
Yes.
Now, see, there's always context.
Right, of course.
I can't let you just throw it out.
No, but there are people...
Bo's encouraging people to pee.
Yes, he is.
No, but
he's outside...
That's a distortion.
He wants people to come meet him at the mansion and pee on the place.
But the reason behind it, and just from a very cursory look at the article, I can already just... I'm not even looking at it now.
Right.
I know what he's doing.
Right.
They're decriminalizing public urination.
Right, which is
yeah, but that's not what you said.
No, listen. I don't care what they're trying to do, and I love Bo to death. You don't say, come meet me at Gracie Mansion and piss on the
but
mayor's
gates. But there is context.
What is that? There's context.
That's context.
I guess. That,
I love blow, but that's
Bo
crazy.
Bo doesn't want people urinating anywhere. But his point is that if de Blasio is going to say it's okay to pee up on 125th Street and Lenox Avenue in public, and nobody's going to say anything, some poor old lady can walk by and watch some
his
low
His point is right. He's 1,000% right.
That's the context.
My argument is the way he's going about it to prove de Blasio wrong. I would personally do something else. That's just me. But I'm not running for mayor.
You know what?
And I love Bo, but
I like it.
I know you like it.
I didn't know anything about it, and I'm
so
glad.
So go
Thank
up
you
then,
for educating me.
Pull it out at 12:30. Take the train. Pull that big Irish dog of yours out and spell my name right there on de Blasio's gates.
Can I just spell Sid instead of Sid Rosenberg?
No, the whole thing.
Oh, man.
You got a good flow. You got a nice-sized junk. Go for it.
Wait, let's get back on track.
I love Bo. God, I love. How do you not love
I think
Bo?
That's a great.
How do you not love
Listen,
Bo?
Listen, you got this nut job, Viverito, in the city council. She wants to decrim. In other words, they want to erase the broken windows policy.
Yeah, I know.
The minor crimes that they so effectively reduce crime in the city. And public urination is one of them. You come down hard on people. Who, they think that the street is their bathroom.
I know. Listen, I remember years ago, two very famous Yankees leaving a nightclub. Don Mattingly and Dale Berra, the son of the late, great Yogi Berra, God rest his soul, left a nightclub Saturday night, were peeing in the streets. They got arrested. And everybody was yelling and screaming. But I was saying, listen, I don't like to get off the train in the morning and walk over a pile of somebody's
Look, and in some cases, I mean, I've been guilty myself of.
I don't see that.
You can't help. You got to go, and you got to go, and you got to do it. You can't go into the restaurant. Won't leave.
No,
you got to do it. I understand.
Come on. One time, I took a dump in Bryan Park, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Listen to this. So the last caller we had from Manhattan, call from Manhattan.
Right.
He was trying to analogize, compare some of the malcontents at Trump's rallies during the campaign to some of the other vitriolic, hateful, inciting violence rhetoric that we've heard over the past. From Madonna.
Let me tell you what he was doing. He was trying to say, while you guys are yelling and screaming about the left, and this guy yesterday that shot the congressman on the left, the truth is, what he did yesterday was violent. But the violence starts with you.
Has Madonna apologized? Has Snoop Dogg apologized?
Never.
Has Shakespeare in the Park apologized?
Never.
None of them.
Griffin barely apologized. Never apologized to Trump.
Has Chris Matthews, has Terry Moran from ABC News apologized for calling Trump a Nazi? Of course, if you think Trump's a Nazi, if you hear on the news that Trump's a Nazi, then, yeah, you're justified maybe in trying to kill him or people who support him. You see how dangerous it is? Have any of them apologized?
No.
The congressman who body slammed the reporter apologized profusely.
Yes, he did. Gianforte.
That's the difference. And that's one incident. And the incidents at the Trump rallies by these protesters causing problems, looking to get on TV, goading the security guys goading them to try to get on camera, getting roughed up and saying, look what they're doing to me. It's not comparable.
I agree. Oh, look at that guy was annoying. Come on. You know, the callers usually, and we love our listeners and our callers, don't get me wrong, but usually the callers reveal their agenda 5 seconds in. You know right off the bat why they're calling, what they're calling for, and that's it.
And Bernie Sanders, listen, we have to play this. It's a 10-second clip, but it's Bernie Sanders on the Rachel Maddow show. Now, yesterday on the Senate floor, he said what the shooting was despicable. It's a terrible, despicable act, and I distance myself from it. But here he is last March on the Rachel Maddow show during Easter recess, congressional Easter recess, the congressmen are back home, town hall meetings, and it was an organized effort to get people to go out to their town halls and disrupt them, and maybe worse. Listen to what he said.
You're seeing members of Congress, Republicans, having to sneak out the back door or claim, I'm worried about my safety. I can't even hold a town meeting. And that is our goal.
Oh, wow. That's
their goal, to have them fear for their safety.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of rhetoric is that?
Well, I'll tell you this.
And this guy was a fan of Rachel Maddow. He may have seen
and
that.
And Bernie Sanders.
He may be directly responsible. I don't know that he is.
He loves Bernie Sanders, too. Well, I will say this. In our 20 months together, there's a couple of moments I'll never forget 10 years from now.
And when we played that cut, when you did, for Congressman Ron DeSantis out of Florida, who was on the field moments before the shooting, he actually confronted. He had a confrontation with the shooter. The shooter asked him if these were Republicans or Democrats. Yeah. The surprise that he displayed and even said, wow, I didn't know.
He was taken aback and
right,
angered.
That tells you everything.
And he was on the show an hour ago. We played it for him, and he was like, I hadn't heard that.
Right.
That is kind of disturbing.
Yeah. Well, it's big. There's no question. So you got that on the table. And, of course, the fight we opened with. Let's take some more phone calls. Line one, Louie in Queens. Good afternoon, Louie. You're on with Bernie and Sid.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you?
Could be worse.
Good. Burn, I love you, and you know, you're always so cerebral until you start talking about this fight.
I'm not cerebral.
It's funny.
I'm not cerebral, and you're wrong. Go ahead.
Well, no, let me explain. I'm kind of close to the fight. I've called you guys before. Mayweather's going for 50.
Well, hold on. You should preface all this by telling everybody that your uncle never lost a professional fight.
Exactly. So with this being said, I'm not a Mayweather guy, but I like Sid, you know, even when he doesn't agree, he tries to be honest with something. What I'm saying is I'm not a Mayweather guy, but with that being said, Mayweather has the ability. He's the most technical fighter probably that ever laced him up, and he neutralizes world-class athletes. He made Canelo looked like Canelo didn't even fight.
He did.
If you saw Canelo last time out, and you know, and Junior is not so great, but
no.
You know, he looked fantastic. What I'm trying to tell you is that Mayweather, you know, he neutralizes, like I say, the world class.
Yeah, I understand.
What's going to happen now?
He's no slouch.
What's going to happen is that when he fights this McGregor, it's going to be like
it's
a guy in Class C. Baseball.
All right, then. We'll see.
What you're going to see is that Mayweather is going to, it's going to be so easy for him that when McGregor misses, Mayweather's going to sit down on his punches and he'll probably knock the guy out very early because the class distinction for, you know, McGregor's not even warming up with an average fighter. I'd like to see him just warm up with an average boxer and you'd see him not look as good. He's going against a guy that, although not offensively not the greatest, is a
now listen.
A
he may be the best defensive fighter ever. You're right. So we'll see. I mean, everybody wants, you know, stranger things have happened. So
that's right. Mayweather is 40 years old, 40 or 41. He's soft. He rides around in Maybachs. He's just partying all the time.
Right.
He's soft. He's not hungry.
He's not soft.
He's soft
until he gets inside that ring.
He's old. And
he's older than Mayweather.
And he's no slouch. There's no doubt about it. But
don't
underestimate. I've been watching this McGregor guy for a long time.
He's gonna get killed.
My concern is that Mayweather will cover up for I don't know, 7 rounds or whatever, and then McGregor will be tired.
And that's it.
And then we'll just have a stupid slugfest. But I don't think so. If he fights, if it's open up early,
right,
McGregor's going to knock his ass out.
I remember when I was still doing sports, only sports, not really, but whatever, down in South Florida, and I brought you on years ago, because I go to all these fights. I'll go to Mayweather-McGregor probably. We will, hopefully. But I was there for Mayweather-Pacquiao. That same day as the Kentucky Derby. And I remember bringing you on my Florida show as a guest right before. And you were like, listen, this thing is going to be so, the fight's going to suck.
Boring.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you were right, which was really annoying.
Thank you for saying that.
You know, you were. It was, I mean, you know, I thought that may have been the case. But when you were right, it was really annoying because
you hate that, right?
Not because you're right, but because all this great buildup and all this, and it turns out to be blah.
Yeah, that's Mayweather's MO.
But that's going to be this fight too.
Eddie from Brooklyn, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning, Eddie.
How are we doing? This to me all links back to the Secret Service not doing their job. They need to grab Madonna, the other one with the head thing, lock them up because the average Joe thinks they can get away with it. I can get away with it. It's lack of loyal. It's terrible.
Lock them skanks up.
Lock them up. They need to get grabbed, put in jail for a little while, and let the people out there see
and
the politics or the president like
that. And that skank Snoop also. And guys like Robert De Niro, want to punch the president in the face.
But you really want these people to get locked up?
The Secret Service definitely, they should have done so. Madonna, you can't go out there on inauguration day, say, I want to bomb the White House.
No, I think what should happen, I'm being serious here, you don't lock them up, stupid. We're the democracy.
Well, you take them in for questions.
Correct.
Take them in, grab them by the...
You walk in, whether it's De Niro, who doesn't have one of those, by the way, and Madonna.
Oh, yes, he does.
Maybe he does. And at least you did something, right? So at least you can say... We spoke to these people. It ain't going to happen again, right?
And the people who call Trump a Nazi on TV on Inauguration Day, I mean, come on. You can't call somebody. It's so irresponsible.
Yeah, but you can't take those people in.
Nazis did?
Of course. So you have this
common denominator nitwit.
It's got to be a threat. It's got to be a threat.
You got this guy. He's listening to this stuff. He's listening to Chris Matthews. He's listening to Rachel Maddow and her guest call Trump a Nazi. And he's like, okay. He's a Nazi. I'm a good guy. I'm going to kill him.
I agree.
And I'm going to kill anyone who supports him.
I agree. But in this guy's case, this guy was like this years ago.
Right. He was he's a woman beater.
Woman beater. He was in trouble with the law back in like 2010. He's been this anti-GOP guy for a long time.
He's like Mayweather.
This didn't start with the whole Trump
thing. Like Mayweather. He likes to punch women around.
What do you want me to do? I'm going to vote for Conor McGregor now. Is that what you want me to do?
1-800.
I mean, I could do it. I'll only do it if you do this for me. Before we break right now.
Tell me.
Give me, on the way out, the Conor McGregor line that he says at the press conference. Why he's fighting, who he's fighting for.
We didn't come here to take part. We came to take over.
Mr. New York.
Family fun, great giveaways that have become synonymous with Brooklyn Cyclone Baseball. Opening weekend is next weekend, Saturday, June 24, featuring post-game fireworks. And my anniversary, Sunday, June 25, is Paw Patrol Night, presented by Nick Jr. To purchase tickets or for a full list of promotions, visit BrooklynCyclones.com. This season, there's great theme nights, celebrity appearances, fireworks every Tuesday and Friday, and kids-themed giveaways and entertainment every Sunday. You're going to love it, folks. My son Gabriel does. Visit BrooklynCyclones.com. Brooklyn Cyclones Baseball. Amazing. Starts here.
Get to Bernie and Sid now. 800-848-WABC. Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never...
You know, I was in a smoking Michelle Pfeiffer. You know, I saw an interview with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Say what?
Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
She said that when she played Scarface's wife, remember she was in Scarface?
Of course.
That she was actually in, this is in real life, not like the movie character. She was scared to death.
I saw that.
She was
scared. Who, Al Pacino?
And Stephen Bauer, Manolo.
She said, yeah, they played realistic, right. Scary guys.
And she said in real life, she was like literally afraid to go to the set and do the movie. Yeah. That's how intimidating they were. In real life.
Which movie was it that she was on the piano?
That was the Fabulous Baker Boys. With the two brothers, the Bridges brothers.
That was pretty good.
See, I'm good. Movies for $200.
No, I meant her on the piano was pretty good. Not the fact that you guessed it correctly.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
She was stunning.
She was very skinny. For me. This is just for me. Very shiksa looking. Don't get mad, Bernie. See, he gets mad now.
We don't need you to... It's not that. Why do we have to review what Michelle Pfeiffer looks like?
Because she said she was stunning. I don't think she's stunning.
Her beautiful face.
I don't think Aaron Andrews is stunning.
Beautiful face.
She's okay.
Okay, fine. It's very subjective.
Everybody,
it is subjective. Yes, it is.
It's in the eyes of the whole.
It's not subjective. It's not subjective.
No, yeah, right. No, you tell me right now.
His standard is the one and only standard.
That's right. It. Is Michelle Pfeiffer stunning?
No.
Thank you.
Bernie, do you think she is? What,
I think
or was?
Yes.
She
absolutely.
I mean, she's not ugly, but she's not stunning.
Kim Basinger, was she?
She was kind of like her. She's
no
kind of like
no, they were beautiful.
Blonde.
Beautiful,
you don't like blonde.
Stunning, hot,
yeah,
and great name. Actresses.
No, not for me.
You can't say actress anymore. Great actors. I just committed a hate crime.
I'm
a misogynist. I said actress.
You know what's funny? I saw on Fox News, they had a congresswoman on this morning talking about the shootings. It said congressman.
What? No.
Swear to God.
That's bullcrap. That's such crap.
They will not call her Congresswoman. They even referred to her on Fox News as, whatever her name is, yep. Linda, blah, blah, blah,
you know
Congressman.
What? You know Roger Ailes is dead when you see that on Fox News.
That is so silly.
Is that weird? Sickening. That's weird, right?
It's idiotic.
I know.
What are we teaching our kids? It's he and she. It's not it.
Are you okay?
No, because you can't also say he.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Bernie, it said 1-800-848-9222. We're coming right back.
From the NJDiet.com studios, 77 WABC.
Bernie and Sid.
Live, local, on at 77 WABC.
Bill Cosby. Yeah. This is breaking news. Bernie and Sid, about 18 more minutes. Curtis and Ebony come your way at the top of the hour, noon. Cosby jury deadlocked. Judge says, keep deliberating. Get me a decision. And I've come across this a couple times the last couple of days. Friends who have said to me, well, he's going to be guilty. Obviously, I want to remind folks, caution you, this is not about the 50 or 60 women that have come forward and said Cosby drugged them and molested, if not raped them. This is only about this one Howard Stern-looking like lady. That's it, just her. And by the way, she continued to see Bill Cosby even after the night she claims he did what he did.
See, now that's very enlightening what you just said, Sidney, because a lot of us, myself included, of course, I'm not paying attention, attention, because it's not intriguing or compelling to
Agreed.
Me. It's not OJ.
Agreed.
But that makes perfect sense, because you are wondering from a distance, what do you mean? Why is it in doubt? Why is it? So it's one person.
Just one.
Very interesting.
Now, all these other women.
You just mentioned she continued to.
Yes, she did. All these other women that came forward are there supporting her in the courtroom, but that's not what this case is about.
Well, maybe that's why that clip we played coming out, he was, hey, that was the other day as he left the rape trial. Meanwhile, he's like 79 years old. He's blind. He's facing maybe the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah, he ain't going away.
And he's, hey.
He ain't going away.
Oh?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't see it.
Look.
I don't see it.
Well, he's clearly... he's clearly, I mean, where the smoke, there's fire, right?
No, I think he did all these horrible things.
All these women are not lying.
No. I mean, did you think after a while that Tiger Woods, that these ladies all had sex with him or they were looking for their 15 seconds of fame?
Well,
because remember, there was like a conga line.
Yeah, but he didn't rape.
No, I know. But the point is they kept coming out and coming out because they knew.
Now, there's some of that. There is some of that. But there's too much of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
To be.
I think he's probably guilty, yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's so bizarre because if you're Bill Cosby, I mean, you would imagine that you could get your Bill Cosby.
Okay, let me explain something to you right now, okay? I'm glad you brought that up because I'm such a whole time.
Maybe I'm not so glad, but go ahead.
You're not going to be glad. You ever go to a porn site?
No, I never have.
Okay, I'm going to re-ask the question again.
The show always ends.
You just put
porn.
Your hand on the Bible, okay? Bernard McGurk, have you ever been to any porn site?
Are you going to tell me this is part of the thrill? Is
have you ever been to any porn site? Yes or no?
I can't recall.
Yes. Do you remember all the categories on the porn sites?
Pretty much.
Are you familiar with the category titled sleep?
No.
Okay. Well, look up. It's an alphabetical order. So what happens is you have a girl who's asleep, and you have a guy that walks in. Usually it's so disgusting, it's the brother. And they walk in, and the girl is asleep and never
really
wakes up.
Nasty.
Never
this
wakes up.
Nasty.
Now, let me tell you this. Statistics. They have hits. When you click on an internet site, you're able to keep stats of what gets hit on the most. The sleep category on porn is one of the most popular categories distance.
Is that essentially rape?
It's rape, and what it does is you're in complete control and power. So you're Bill Cosby, you can get any chick you want, but for him, because he's such a sick mother effer and a sick bastard, he wants to render her completely helpless because at that point, two things going for himself, power and control.
I can't even articulate
how sick it is. I know
how wrong it is because
I know.
It's just not.
But that,
fit for.
But that's him. He's about
radio talk.
He's about power and control. He's a sick bastard, a sick mother effer. He's about power and control. And when you do that, that's what happens.
If they have rape sites on these legitimate porn sites like Pornhub or YouPorn or whatever it is, shouldn't it be treated as child pornography?
I don't think they have.
Just told me that they had it.
No, it's called sleep. I don't think they're allowed to put. I think that's illegal.
Oh well, then to never use mind. The word rape.
Yeah,
it should be illegal.
That's illegal.
That's where I was going. It should.
Yeah,
be.
No, you can't do that. No, that's they won't even use. As far as I know, they won't even use that. I think it's illegal.
So do you think he gets a Jell-O pudding pops endorsement back?
Yeah,
he's
got
the acquittal.
It. Absolutely. He's going to be doing it all again. He's going to come back with the Cosby. He's a grandfather now in the Cosby family.
Have you ever been to the porn site Jell-O Pudding Pops?
No. Does it exist?
Probably not.
Oh, you want it?
Let's go to who should we go to, Joel or Steve?
Joel.
Joel from New York City, Manhattan. Joel, you're on with Bernie and Sid. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. Hey, you guys are great. Really love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment about how there's a similarity in kind of like a comparison between the Catcher in Rye, the quote-unquote assassination trigger with Chapman and Hinckley responsible for Lenin and murder and Reagan's attempted assassination, to what's going on now on the left side, which is not such a subconscious thing, but it's more or less a conscious element.
Yeah, it's overt.
They're actually, sorry?
It's overt. Go ahead, Joel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, covert. There, that's a little overt, more accurate overt, in terms. Overt, yeah. Yeah, and it's the cost is that with their covert conversation, calling for action against the Republicans and anybody or Trump or anybody.
But what the comparison between Hinckley, who shot Lenin, the guy that Mark David Chapman shot Lenin, Hinckley who shot Reagan. And the other ones, where's the comparison between those folks and the guy that did this yesterday? What's the comparison?
Well, I think it has to deal with the discontent for how things are going.
Well, obviously.
Like with the main character Holden Caulfield in Catcher in the Rye, you have this brewing undertone that everybody in the world is phonies, right? And I think that what's going on in the comparison with the politics going on now is that the left is painting with very broad strokes.
Okay.
That everybody who is on the Republican side and Trump himself is a big phony.
Okay, listen, that's fair. I mean, you do remember, of course, that Mark David Chapman, the man that assassinated John Lennon, was in fact holding that book, Catcher in the Rye, in his possession when he assassinated Lenin. So to make that comparison is kind of easy because one of your assassins had the book on hand at the time of the assassination.
I guess. I kind of
I think Lenin even signed that book for him right before, outside of Dakota. He like signed a book and then came back minutes later and shot him in the back.
I think he encountered Lenin on the subway maybe the day before. I don't know. I lost the whole comparison.
Yeah, he was there. So did I. And again, he did have that book, Mark David Chapman, with him when he killed John Lennon.
Listen, today with these people, the media and these leftists, these angry soul losers, everything is the apocalypse. Trump's a Nazi. He's illegitimate. He stole the election. He's a bigot. First of all, you had Larry Wilmore about a year ago, or it was less than a year ago, actually. He talked about Trump being suffocated with a pillow. This is a guy who hosted the White House Correspondents'
Dinner. And sucked.
And he sucked. And then you had that, and of course, more. Then Madonna with the bombing, De Niro,
Kathy Griffin, Marilyn Manson.
Snoop Dogg with the assassinate Trump.
Yep.
So, I mean, these people are inciting susceptible morons like this idiot that went down and shot this fat, ignorant idiot, Bernie Sanders supporter, who shot the congressman yesterday. Yeah. That's what it is.
They don't see it that way. They will tell you, listen,
I don't know
the violence starts with your guy. I don't know either, but the violence starts with your guy. That's what they're going to say. They're not going to make an excuse or defend what Hutchinson did yesterday, but they will tell you the violence starts with you, your guy, Trump. That's where it starts.
So you would think one day, Sidney, right? One day you'd have even the venomous media hosts on the cable news networks, some of the guests, the hosts, or whatever, that they would take it easy. Well, anyway, this one guy, Tingles, Chris Matthews.
Right.
This is like an historic moment, a tragic one, but it was an attempted mass assassination, which almost came off, but for the fact that this guy had a security detail.
Scalise, yeah.
Something I don't think this guy counted on. But anyway, Chris Matthews last night opens his show up. You think this is going to be the big story, right?
Of course.
I mean, it could. Well, anyway, this is how Chris Matthews opens his show.
Good evening. I'm Chris Matthews of Washington. Donald Trump and his ties with Moscow remain the big story here, even on a day struck by violence. Late this evening, another bombshell from the Washington Post.
You believe that?
Is that how Maddow started, too? Because she's getting good ratings.
He never gets. I don't know why. He's on 7 o'clock. He turned out to be just a spittle spewing.
I still like him, too.
Punk.
When he used to be on with us, when we were all MSNBC together with Imus, he's come on after us. I used to like Chris. He's very nice to us.
And then
very nice
then, Sidney, in his prepared open,
yeah,
he says this.
As part of a widening probe that now includes an examination of whether President Trump attempted to obstruct justice. So he's in the crosshairs.
Oh, that's a bad use of verbiage.
Is he kidding?
I don't think he realized crosshairs.
You don't think
after
he
a
realized?
Shooting?
No.
Now he does.
Remember when Gabby Giffords got shot?
I do.
And they blamed it on some ad that Sarah Palin had done months ago.
I do.
Said she had crosshairs somewhere.
You betcha.
Is this guy kidding me? This guy, the Secret Service needs to visit this clown.
I think somebody...
Him and Joe Scarborough, that mutt.
His girlfriend's worse, but he's bad. I really dislike Mika a lot.
Fiance.
Even more than Joe. Fiance, whatever.
They're too low.
They're made for each other. They're both garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. That show blows, by the way. All of them. They got 19 guys in suits up there. None of them says dick.
So does she.
Mike Barnacle. What happened to him? I still love Mike Barnacle.
I don't know what happened to him. All I know is... These
Mike.
People, and then you had Scarborough running away this morning from the vitriol that he was spewing towards Trump and the hate and her.
He was calling it out.
This morning.
He wants people to get fired.
He knows he's culpable. He's got something on his hands, and he's running away.
What's on his hands?
Ick. Nasty, disgusting. You don't want to know.
Didn't somebody here at ABC catch him and Mika doing anal in...
In Crash's studio.
Yeah. Is that true? Seriously.
And Crash was taping it. I think he blackmailed Scarborough.
They play footsies.
They were repulsive people. Everybody hated them here.
They were mean.
And they had no ratings.
Love you.
Peace.
Stay woke!